This is a long way of saying a lot happens once you become someone's lawyer. Once you say, I am your lawyer, a number of obligations attach. And these are just the ones under the rules. We haven't even gotten into what the common law actually imposes on us. This is just the expectation of the rules. Speaking of which, in terms of the distinction between the rules and the common law, this is from comment 15 to the preamble. The rules explicitly state that they do not set forth standards of civil liability. Doesn't give rise to any particular claim under the law that you violate a rule. Rather, the consequence is disciplinary in nature, meaning it can cost you your license or result in various other penalties through the administrative proceedings that are the responsibility of the ethics board that enforces the rules. So it is important to understand that, at least technically speaking, the rules don't actually establish legal claims. Now, that said, if you actually go through the cases, you will see courts looking at the rules to educate their understanding of the standard of care, for example, in a negligence claim, or perhaps in whether or not to impose a duty on a lawyer not to be negligent with some particular dealing with someone who is now claiming to be a client. So while the rules are careful to say we are not establishing standards of civil liability, courts at times kind of use them for that purpose. So you need to take this with a grain of salt. If you're defending yourself, good luck. And you might want to use this comment. Just recognize that a lot of courts seem to read right past it and use the rules for the purpose of establishing some form of liability. With that, let's talk about formation. What do the rules actually say about formation? Well, one, they acknowledge what we've already talked about, is that these duties principally come into play after a client has requested a lawyer render legal services and the lawyer's agreed to do so. Now, that may sound familiar because it's the basics of contract formation. And when we get to the law, what you're going to hear is that whether a attorney-client relationship exists for purposes of a legal claim is really decided with reference to contract principles. And you're hearing some of that language here. There needs to be an offer and an acceptance, a request and an agreement. And that is at the heart of whether or not you have an attorney-client relationship. And you'll see that going on, that they explain that the individual circumstances and principles and substance of law are going to educate that. So this is a place where the rules actually kind of trade off the law and say whether or not the relationship exists is really controlled by substantive law. Once it exists, we impose these duties for disciplinary purposes, not for civil liability purposes. There's one thing I really want to draw attention to, however, and it's that very last sentence. But there are some duties, such as that of confidentiality, that may attach before a client relationship has been established. And this startled me that it's right there in the comment. Like I've been practicing for 20-something years. I think it was my underlying assumption that all of my duties, of course, kicked in once I agreed to be a lawyer for someone. And it couldn't possibly be that I owed a non-client any obligation. The rules point out otherwise, and as we get into the cases, what you'll see is the cases do too. And there are actually some obligations that can kick in before an attorney-client relationship has been formed. And one of those is the duty of confidentiality. Getting back to the idea that confidence really is at the heart of the relationship, to the point that it can kick in before the relationship kicks in. So where might that come up? Well, one of the places, we've got one more comment there. The fiduciary relationship, this is in Rule 105, between the lawyer and the client and the proper function of the legal system require the preservation of confidential information of one who is employed or sought to employ. And so that little bit of emphasis there is just to point out that this is another place where the rules are acknowledging you may actually have an obligation before. So you'll see it in the comment to the preamble very plainly, and then you see it somewhat more subtly in the comment to Rule 105, two places where the rules acknowledge this. So now moving on to Ethics Opinion 651, and we've reproduced this in the paper. You can, of course, pull it up on the internet. It's available for free. But what this is talking about is a website that accepts solicitations for representation from prospective clients. The law firm that was accepting these solicitations via the web did have some bird seed language, some automatically populated language that when you went to submit anything to them to request a consult, it very plainly warned you of two different things. First, and again, we reproduced the language in the paper, but first, it warned you that I don't yet represent you and I am not going to keep confidential what you sent me. if I end up not representing you, I am not keeping confidential whatever you send me. In other words, having acknowledged what the rules say that maybe this duty attaches before you even represent them, this particular disclaimer on this law firm's website went out of its way to disclaim that. Said, not here. You send me something, I am not promising to keep it confidential. So I'm gonna disclaim my way out of this notion in the rules. Two, and this is becomes important in the ethics analysis, they actually say, and by the way, I may use it against you. So not only am I not going to keep it confidential, I'm not going to keep it private, I might take what you send me and use it against you to your detriment. Against that backdrop, someone sends some information in, and then the firm does not end up representing that individual, but they end up representing someone with interests adverse to that potential client, and that potential client, who was never represented, seeks to disqualify the law firm. It says, hold on, I sent you confidential information. You're now representing somebody with interests adverse to mine, and you are polluted by the confidential information I sent you, so you can't do that. You should be disqualified.